I'm going to invite you to rise for our scripture lesson for this morning here. And as you can see, it comes from Luke chapter 9, verses 57 to 62. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." And Jesus said to him, "Leave the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Yet another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home." Jesus said to him, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." Here ends the reading. You may be seated. And we're going to welcome Kevin forward to share with us.
See if I can get this thing off. It's the age we live in. All right, we live? Please pray with me. Lord Jesus, in you we live and move, but apart from you we can do nothing. We are often like seeds among thorns, Lord, our concerns and our desires. And the things that we want and the things that we fear lead us to ignore your word. And they lead us to stray from you. And they lead us into following our own sinful desires to our own destruction instead of following you, Lord. You have called us out of that and into life. Your word has created faith in our hearts because your word saves us even from ourselves. I pray that your word would work powerfully now. I pray that your word would crush the hearts of the rebellious so they would turn to you and be saved. And I pray that your gospel of love would fill the hearts of your faithful so that they may be strengthened to follow you through whatever dark valley you may lead us through. To that end, Jesus, I ask for strength, even for myself, to deliver your word clearly, even as I deal with my own strong emotions. I ask all this not, Lord, because of my own worthiness, but because of the worthiness of your Son, Jesus. Amen. I chose this section of Luke for my last sermon here because Luke 9:62 is my anchor verse. Going into seminary and all throughout seminary, when times would come up that would make me question everything, they would make me stop and ask, even, what in the world am I, what am I doing here? I'm not cut out for this. I can't handle this problem. I have no idea what I'm doing. I go back to Luke 9:62, and I'm reminded of my calling. To just be faithful. I'm not the one doing the work, Jesus is. So just put two hands on the plow and just be faithful, no matter how well the work is going. Don't give up, don't look back, but neither should you try to push the plow. Don't make excuses, just keep two hands on the plow. So Monday, May 4th, I decided this would be my sermon text. And then May 7th rolled around. May 7th was a day that had been on my calendar since the day I started seminary 4 years ago-ish. There were a few unknowns in my life during seminary. There were a lot of unknowns even before we arrived at seminary. We had never seen the apartment we moved into. We just loaded up our stuff and headed out and hoped it would all fit. And by the grace of God, it did. But the whole time we were in seminary, we were kind of walking between settling in and staying prepared to move. And to further complicate things, we didn't really know where we were going to move to. We just knew that we were moving. So all throughout seminary, I had no idea where I would be living on May 7th, 2020, but I knew where I would be. I knew that on May 7th, 2020, I would be back in Plymouth, and I would be celebrating with my brothers as we completed our final seminary obligation. It was our internship workshop. And then a few days after that, we would graduate. But now, as many of you may have guessed, the one thing that I knew for sure turned out to be not true at all. It's not the way things worked in reality. When May 7th rolled around, I was not in Plymouth, but I was here in my office in Beulah because, like so many other things this year, my graduation has been postponed. And our internship workshop, which was the very last class period of my seminary career, took place over a Zoom meeting. So early May 7th, a little earlier than normal even, I began my day with breakfast and devotions. And that was all the stuff that was on my mind, how much things had changed and just how strange all of this was, especially to be at the end. I mean, the end date was finally here, and I was looking back at how much my life had changed in 4 years since I left my family farm for seminary and how much ground had been plowed up in my life. How we had lived in three places in 4 years and how much life was about to change as I ended my internship and rode off. I guess I'm actually riding off into the sunrise because I'm going east. I was reflecting on all of that when I came to my second devotion text that morning. My second text that morning was Genesis 12, 1 through 3. And as I occasionally do, I tried to read it in Hebrew, but my Hebrew is not so good, so it's a little bit kind of like setting your decoder ring in the right place, and then you get one word at a time. And I should have known the words of that Bible verse. But as I read it slowly, this is what came through. And the Lord said to Abram, "Go for yourself from your land and from the land of your relatives and from the land of your father unto the land that I will show you." And that stung. That hurt because I went all through seminary without considering the full weight of those words and what that must have felt like to Abram. But as I looked back at how much it hurt to leave Hoopel and how much it hurt to leave Plymouth, and I'm pretty obviously in the middle of processing how much it's going to hurt to leave Beulah, the weight of those words and what they meant to Abram was far too real for me. It hurts for two reasons. First is the main reason it hurts for Christians to leave. We grow attached to the places where we experience the grace and the love of God. Really, we grow attached to the people with whom we share the grace and love of God. We don't want to leave that. Even when it's Jesus Himself calling us to move on. But the second thing is, all of us have a part of us that does not want to leave and go to the land that God is going to show us. We don't want change. All of us have a part that finds security in the status quo. And we find security in the things of the world. All of us have a part that wants to look back, to take a hand off the plow, to attend to our desires and to attend to this world before attending to God's desires for our life. So why, if we all have that desire, do any of us ever stop following the desires and cares of the world and start following Jesus? Why did Abram leave his homeland, and why did I leave? And why do you need to leave your life of sin and live a life of faith? Because the truth is, Abram and I were responding to the same call, and it's the same call that Jesus Christ puts on all of your lives. Jesus is calling out to all of you, follow me. It's the same call he put on Abram's life, and it's the same call he put on mine. And it's the same call he put on the guy in Luke 9:59. That guy just wanted to bury his father. And it's the same call all of you are receiving right now. Jesus is calling you to follow me. It doesn't matter what you think of yourself. It doesn't matter if you think you are the most worthless, worst person on the face of the planet, or if you are so rich and powerful that you do not have to answer to anyone else. Jesus says, follow me. It doesn't matter if you're happy with your life or if you are in the dark, deep battle with depression. Jesus is calling you right now to follow him. He's calling you to receive his love. He's calling you to receive his life. He's calling you to be blessed by him and be a blessing to others, just as Abram was. The man who wanted to bury his father, Jesus was saying to that guy, don't be distracted. Be faithful. Go and proclaim the kingdom of God instead of worrying about the dead. Go and preach the gospel. Bring people into life. Abram said, to Abram, God said, don't be afraid of this huge change that I'm calling you to make. Just go where I lead you and be faithful in the things that I ask you. Your faith will make you righteous, and you will be a blessing to the entire world. And the thing is, on May 7th, it turned out that was exactly the message Coal Country needed to hear. Because while I was feeling so sorry for myself and feeling like I was some great martyr for the faith with all of this moving that I'm doing, on May 7th, Coal Country received much tougher news. We found out May 7th that some of our employers here are shutting down. And I don't know enough about the repercussions of all that to know what they will all be, but it seems very likely to me some of our friends and family are also going to receive the call to go from the land of their relatives. Even though all of us are being called to follow Jesus spiritually, some of us are going to be called to follow Jesus physically to somewhere else. And we're celebrating our graduates, which is a lot happier deal than thinking about Coal Country slowing down, but it's still a very emotional thing because that also comes with a call to move. So I'm not the only one this morning facing the physical call to move. I'm not the only one moving on. Many of us are entering new chapters in our lives. We're moving on from the people and the land and the things that we have known all too well, and we're going to new people and new lands and new things. But brothers and sisters, no matter what lands and things you find yourself surrounded by, no matter what people you are with, follow Jesus. If you aren't following Jesus, repent and start following him right now. If you're listening to this and you're sitting and scratching your head going, why would I follow Jesus? Lots of people who did that just got told they're going to lose their jobs. People who follow Jesus still catch COVID. People who follow Jesus still get laid off. People who follow Jesus still have friends that move away. It seems like you have to do a lot of following before you actually get to any promised land. That's very true. That is an astute observation. Jesus straight up told his followers, in this world, you will have trouble. But when we follow him, we can meet those troubles cheerfully. Because the God-man that we follow has overcome this world. We don't have to settle for the false peace that this world provides. We don't have to find our security in the status quo only to have that smashed. We can have true peace because we have the peace that comes from following Jesus Christ. Which is good because this world is passing away. Most of the time, the things that we are unwilling to give up to follow Jesus, those things are passing away as well. They are perishing. And when we cling to them instead of Christ, they become our idols. Jesus doesn't want you to follow your idols to your eternal destruction. So when Jesus paints this comical picture of a guy trying to run an ox plow with one hand and looking backwards and falling face first into the mud, it's all too clear for us. Those things that we want to turn around for, those things we want to go back to, those sins that we commit when we think no one else is looking and we think that no one else is hurt, or those priorities that we put in front of our spiritual lives in the Word, those things that we make time for instead of time with Jesus or with His people or with His causes, those things that we want instead of what Jesus wants to give us, they only cause us to stumble. And so when Jesus says, let the dead bury the dead, he is begging you to let go of your idols, let go of your self-security, and let go of everything in this world that gets between you and what he calls you to. And instead, follow him. Follow Jesus and do it completely. Follow him entirely and always. Put two hands on the plow and commit to Jesus. Follow him even when the plowing is hard. Even when the work is hard. Follow him even when the temptation is great. You guys graduating, you're heading off into a world that is full of distractions. It's full of things that will tempt you to take a hand off the plow. You will be tempted to sin. You will even fail from time to time and sin. But in those moments, you need to let the dead bury the dead. You need to repent and ask forgiveness and then just get back to following Jesus. Follow him, even if it costs your home. We can never give up as comfortable a home as Jesus Christ did. He left heaven and instead lived without so much as a foxhole to call his own. Because he loves you. Follow him now because he walked through the flames of hell, the one place he doesn't want anyone to follow him to. So follow him now. So you don't have to follow him through there. Follow him now, no matter the cost. Because no one drives a plow with one hand and stands. Follow him now, because when we follow him, for Christians, every goodbye that we say to a brother or sister is just a temporary one. And someday soon, we won't ever have to say goodbye again. Follow him today. Proclaim the kingdom of God today and every day after, because the greatest blessing that you can give anyone in this dying world is the gift of eternal life. And you can share that gift with anyone by proclaiming the gospel. Follow him in every place and at every time and at any cost. Give your life, your whole life, to Jesus. And follow him always, because even though it's a temporary goodbye, I must now say goodbye to all of you. You all have been so kind and gracious to myself and to my family. And I am very excited to move to Newfoldon and begin ministry with the saints at West Ocker. But I'm going to miss the saints here at Prince of Peace and at Golgotha and at St. Paul's. And moving away in the era of COVID is much harder, because we should be potlucking and shaking hands and, you know, maybe hugging if we wanted to be awkward about it. But right now, it seems our Christian duty is to love our neighbor, and that means we love our neighbor by not hugging our friends, which doesn't make any sense, but it's the way that it is. For now, anyways. So therefore, brothers and sisters, I confidently pray that this goodbye is a temporary one. And I pray that whatever and through whatever land the Lord may lead us, all of us will continue to follow him by his grace, so that soon, together, we may all gaze together on the beautiful face of our Savior. Yet until then, I will be so bold as to pray that our paths do cross again, and soon, and in this life. Until whichever of those happens first, brothers and sisters, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever.